Well, good evening. Good evening. And welcome to the Wednesday evening question and answer.
Hi, it's Janine from Salt Lake City.
All right, thank you for coming in. I know BBS Radio, we got interference.
Oh, it's okay.
That's the other show coming in.
All right, welcome to the call. Welcome to the call this evening for coming in. This is our Wednesday night question and answer session.
That is not from
us.
Good evening. That is not.
And welcome
Hi.
To the Wednesday evening question and answer.
Hey, Dom.
Hi, Dharmananda.
Hi, Dharmananda. I'm glad to hear your voice.
Wait,
welcome to the call.
Donna? Donna, are you there?
Yes.
No, not Donna. Don. Don from BBS.
Yeah. I win.
Oh, wait, that's wrong, Don. Don from BBS, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah. It sounds, I just listened to BBS, just a second.
Are you talking to me?
Yes.
Hi,
Dharmananda.
Okay, now it sounds okay.
Hi, Dharmananda. I'm glad to hear you.
Hello, how are you guys doing?
Okay, we're on. Okay. Okay. Sorry. I was hearing the music underneath everything.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It.
Fucking out. That
okay.
was not cool. No, I see you're in a hurry. Okay. Have a good class.
All right. Time to mute everybody.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
All right. I think it's all quiet. Are we all quiet now?
Yes, it's pretty quiet, and we need to start the recording.
Is my voice fairly okay?
Yes, it is. And if it's not, I'll let you know.
All right. I mean,
alrighty.
You know, if you're standing in Heise's shoes, you know.
I think I wear a bigger shoe than him.
You do?
Yeah, I wear size 11 in women's.
Uh-oh. We'll check with guys. Next time.
We'll have to check. It might scare him, but be careful.
All right. Big shoes to kick people, right?
Well, I try not to do that, and I rather love them with my heart, but sometimes it doesn't work out that way.
This conference is being recorded.
This is November 18th, 2015. Win. Free and Terry Brown in Sedona, Arizona. I've got to mute those names. Here we go. Terry, are you here? Uh-oh. Hello, Terry. Oh, you're there. Oh, good.
Were you unmuted?
Were you unmuting
yes.
yourself?
Yes.
Okay. How did I know? Okay. All right. This is our usual seat of the pants getting started. And most of you know that are on the line, Wednesday nights, we are going to present questions that you have submitted to our sources. And, you know, this is spontaneous. Terry doesn't know what the questions are beforehand. And just keep in mind that just because it's channeled and just because it comes from higher realms does not mean that you're supposed to divorce yourself from your own discernment and decide if the answers fit for you. You know, people want to, they have a predisposition to want to give up their power and to have somebody tell them what to do. And should I do this? Should I do that? How do I make this happen? And the truth of the matter is, when you want to shift, it's not as most of you are learning, it's not so easy to do it at a conscious level. You have to figure out the ways to arrange your life and to do the things that cause those things to happen. And then it starts to happen by grace, okay? It doesn't happen, usually, to my experience, through willpower. And, you know, we'd all like to know that, wish that it did, because then all we'd have to do is do thus and thus and thus and say the right mantra or do the right affirmations or believe in the right figurehead, you know, and that was enough to make it all occur. And maybe if you do that and it works for you, then it is enough. But for most people, it's not enough. And there's something that you have to do, but there's things you can do. Like, for example, I would say if you feel energy on these lines, I'd be listening to as many of these calls as I could. I'd be listening to the archives and just immerse yourself not only in the energy but all the words, because just occasionally there'll be one sentence that totally changes your life. And you don't know where that sentence is. You don't know on what tape it is or what audio it is. So you got to find it, because it'll speak right to you. I had that experience many times in my life where I would go to different seminars and teachers, and occasionally there was something that stuck, that got through. And when that happens, it usually is the beginning of a process, because you get a key to something that you can apply to yourself that works. I mean, we've talked about all kinds of different things, whether it's service, whether it's doing good karma, whether it is, you know, random acts of kindness, whether it's praying. How many of you pray every day? How many of you take a moment to just send love light to all the people you care about and to the planet? That works, you know. It starts building spiritual muscle. And you may think nothing's happening, but if you do it as a discipline, it starts to lift your energy and you start to hold higher energies in your space. Or a lot of people do. It may not work for you. It may not. So it's like there's all these billions of people here, and there is not one answer that works for everybody, because if there was, we'd all know it by now, and we'd all be doing it, and we wouldn't be in the mess we're in on this planet. So that's the tricky part, that there's individual, you're an individual. You are a total individual with a unique energy imprint in the universe, and with a unique track from many, 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 many lifetimes. And here you are, and that you want to lift yourself above your track. And that's a tricky thing to do. But yet, we have people on the calls that have been doing it, at least little bits and little bits. Terry and I have been doing it, and little bits. We're absolutely not perfect, not by far. And we still have our track, and we still have our distortions. And, you know, part of this all is to just say that's true. And, Terry, you're breathing into the mic again.
Okay, I'll mute myself.
So, on that note, jump into our call. And, oh, I wanted to tell you, if you didn't open the email today, open it and read some of the testimonials that we're getting from people using our ozone machine. I mean, I don't know what it's going to work for, and don't ask me if it's going to work for something, but it works for a lot of stuff that even surprises me. And, I mean, I did a lot of study on the Internet and all the stuff it works for. And if you got one and it didn't do anything for you, I'd like to hear that. Let me know, okay? Some people, it works right away. They notice something. Some people get a don't drink too much of it at first, because some people get a cleansing reaction. And if you drink too much, it might be more than you want to handle. So start off with, you know, half a glass or a glass, particularly if you're in fragile health, particularly if you have things like candida or whatever, because it may start a process of releasing it. And that could be uncomfortable, so you don't want that to go faster than you're comfortable with, okay? So on that note, we are recording. Everyone's muted. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this line, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies. You're breathing in the mic, Terry. I hear you.
Yeah. Okay. I'm putting on a jacket because it's cold.
Okay.
Anyway. Yeah.
Okay. We see ourselves. You're still doing it. I thought you muted yourself.
Sure, I'll mute myself.
We see ourselves in this energy that's radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energies of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Yes. We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We note as we move into your realm, into the third density, that time slows down for us. And it seems like a very long time. But you may notice time speeding up for you when we make the connection with you. We connect directly. We don't connect through the radio lines. We don't connect through the phone. That's the voice. But we come directly to you, and we experience joy at this time when we can be available to connect with those that wish to make connection. We are glad to be of assistance where we can. Do you have questions?
Yes, we do. Our first question is from Marilyn Lawrence in Flagstaff, Arizona. What is the best way to work to transmute negative energies when we have been made aware of them and how they are operating?
There are multiple layers to the answer to that. There is the effect upon your space. There is the effect upon the their density space. There is the effect upon the social memory complex of all of the people in an area and then on your planet. So there are multiple effects that are occurring. One of the things that you can do is in your daily meditation to connect outside of the box to connect with the higher dimensions, love light, the fifth dimension, and note that you can make the negative effect on you dissolve as you move out of the box, which focuses the negativity. You can change your focus, and changing your focus brings you outside of that. When you feel that there's a negative influence directed at you, it can even have a sense of a direction that it's coming from. Note the frequency of it and determine to move to a different frequency. It may still affect you for a little while, but eventually it will dissipate and the negativity, the negative energy that may have been focused upon you will lose interest.
I know people are asking, how do you move to a different frequency?
If you practice to, with, say, people you know, and picture those people, think of those people, feel, sense those people, they have a certain frequency. When you move to a different person, they have a different frequency, and get some practice with experiencing what it is like to copy, to sense a frequency, an energy that is or may be focused in your direction. This is one way that synchronicities get together. For instance, you may have someone that is wishing to commit a crime, and you may have somebody else that is scared that the crime will happen to them. And the two frequencies intermesh and interlock, and they hone in on each other, and they can pull each other in, and you have the one person and the other person, and the two frequencies have interlocked. The person that is driving and is scared of being pulled over by the police for some reason, and then suddenly there's the police. One can look at their own fear and sense what it is like. There is a frequency to that fear. And one can move to a different frequency, turn on the radio, get some Debussy music or some classical music, some classical piano or a symphony, and move out of the range, let it dissipate, and there is less chance that you will pull something in.
Thank you. How about just calling somebody and if you have somebody that you can develop the right relationship with, where you can call somebody and just say, could we call in the light together?
That would work.
Okay.
That's a good idea. You want to get yourself so that you are able to move frequencies without hanging on to it and wondering what the heck was that. Because when you get curious, then you can look at it closer and bring it in more.
Thank you. A question from Terry LaBarbera in Dallas. And 1 week I felt I needed to ask something on our Wednesday call, but I couldn't seem to focus on the most important question, although I pondered several. I made an intention to relax about it and trust the right question would come. That Wednesday night, after a day of feeling more expanded, I felt like our source's energy joined me in my room before our conference call with a message that there was something special for me on that night's call, and I would take it to heart. It turned out that nearly every question was something I wanted to ask but haven't. The answer seemed to speak to me personally, and I felt blessed. So the question she wants to ask tonight, are there questions that you're waiting for us to ask but can't tell us until we ask? Like something important for us to know, but you can't reveal it unless we ask first.
We have a sense that as we connect, it is in the now, and we sense the questions in the now. It is sometimes before a call, we get the questions of the people, and sometimes we bring in answers, references to the individual person's questions. So sometimes you will see us do a prefix, a preamble, and then it is followed by questions, of which some of the preamble answered. The questions are in the air, you might say. And it is not that we sit and wait. We do not do that as we connect vibrantly, immediately, but we can hold many, many things and ideas at the same time and can bounce back and forth between them. We hope that helps.
Thank you. Marilyn Hausman in Pittsburgh. And when I ask questions about people that are having experiences with lights or entities connecting with them, if the question should harbor on bringing in anything negative, I just would like to ask you to decline to answer that question if there's any possibility of that happening. Because people are having experiences and they'd like me to ask. So her question is, last night when I got into bed, there was a large glowing circle of energetic light glowing near the ceiling. Now, she says last night, this was probably about 2 weeks ago, there was a small bright light in the middle, like a big star. I was feeling extremely blissful and vibrating. It felt wonderful. I asked if it could be Ra or the Elohim and got no sign of what it was. Oh, as it felt very loving, I let it stay and enjoyed it. Was this light energy? Was it Ra Elohim energy? Was it positive? Was it safe? Could it be negative? Thank you.
We see that it was a raw energy that had expressed itself in the as an energy in the lower realms and was blessing you.
The people that are attending these calls have more vulnerability to having that experience, could we say?
Yes, and it, because an orb or light appears does not mean that it is positive. It might not be positive. So when, if it happens to you, be sure to sense the energy, whether it resonates with you, if it's got strings or barbs or an attached feeling or a possession feeling, a desire for energy feeling, then you can feel free to dismiss it.
Thank you. Chris in Memphis has the question, the energy in my house seems oppressive. If this is so, what can I do to raise the vibration in my home? Thank you. And I am going to ask after this question a little bit about something I read in book 5 of the Ra material, where it was indicated to put salt around all the openings and sprinkle less water on the salt as a way of helping to clear your house. And of course, we have Fred, who does house clearings. And so somebody can utilize Fred Brooks, and he's gotten great testimonials from people who we've recommended him to, who have had a total lifting of light energy in their house, and removal of negative entities that might have been oppressive. But, okay, let's just ask the question as he did it. If energy seems oppressive, how can I raise the vibrations in my home?
Thank you. We see that the energies in your home have been laid there before you were there. We see an individual that lives there, a man who was very depressed and left out energy through the place. And it is not a fresh energy. It is a feeling of sluggishness, of depression, of not being able to move forward. And this is not you. This is in the energy of the house. As we speak, we ask you to leave. And the bright energy be able to take its place. A more expanded energy of anticipation and we have to be careful. We don't want to knock over any objects in your house. So we cannot apply our full power. But we do leave and ask a change and an uplifting of the energy and tone in your place.
Thank you. Next question. Cleo in Connecticut. She asks, have I had previous lifetimes in the British Isles? I have felt a strong connection to Ireland and its beautiful dramatic landscapes, as well as to England and Scotland. Do I have any talents from those lives or other lifetimes that I could draw on that would help me to be of greater service this lifetime?
Who is that?
Cleo Bibas in Connecticut.
Thank you. Yes, you do have some very grounded and beautiful lifetimes in Scotland and in surrounding areas. Lifetimes such as these can help give you talents and skills and grounding and knowledge of who you are and how you handle things. By the lifetimes where you have built knowledge and you have built grounding, you have built crafts, you have built gifts that you can take advantage of and just let it come into your consciousness as you move through your day. If you see something that seems familiar, the memories are all there. They've been clouded by the genetics and the cellular memory of your genetic body. But just let the memories come as they will and see what makes you feel grounded or what makes you feel happy. As if it was something from another lifetime that you enjoyed. In this way, your lifetimes can help you to build character.
Thank you. Joni Carlton in St. Louis, she sent me a long email. Basically, let me just see here. It was September 9th at 12:30 p.m. in St. Louis. She was having an experience of seeing some round things in the sky, okay? And she describes them as, let me see here, beautiful pink disks with what looked like a slight edging around each one. The three disks were touching each other, two at the base and one opposite the other, to form a complete triangle, as if a person would draw a line on the outside of the three connected disks. Well, let me see. Did Aaron see them too? I'm not going to get to that.
Yes, Aaron was on the phone, I believe.
I see, right.
This is Terry. I read the email, so I have a sense of the question. I go back into trance now.
So, I mean, the question is, was it positive? Was it negative? Was it our sources? Is it something that she should protect herself again or look forward to another experience of? Can you give us any help with that? Thank you.
Thank you. As we look at the experience and look at the triangles and look at the changing of the shapes and the coming together of the triangles, we see that it was interdimensional and it was it is a craft that can move into merging of multiple crafts. It is a unique experience to watch this. It is not us, so that we are often present when the color pink appears. However, this was of a nature to do with the sky and the objects in the sky. We see that it was a profound experience. And we not. Exalted, although it did contain elements that are very difficult to encounter. Most people do not encounter such an experience.
Did we ask?
If it happens, to just observe and do not attempt to be part of it. Just observe.
Thank you. Okay. Charlene in Oneida, New York. I wonder if this is her first question that she ever asked. Might be. She has a question. You know, people do crazy things on this planet. And she didn't say that. That's my words. Her question is, can the Elohim share insights as the specific reason why some Muslims choose to kill themselves, i.e. suicide bombers, in order to kill innocent people? And, of course, if you take, this is me answering, if you take this just from what we know, people are conditioned. They're trained. They have ideas of God. And they, you know, they exalt their own ideas of God. And if someone actually has been conditioned to believe that this would be God's will, for example, that it's in the interests of who they think God is to do something like that, they'll probably believe they get benefit on the other side. That may not be true, but if they believe that, they'll do things. They'll do all kinds of things in what they have been conditioned to believe is God's will. That's what I would say. But let me turn it over to our source. Thank you.
Thank you. If you look at it from all of the different layers and levels that are involved in a situation like that, at the, let's start with, say, the people that are fomenting it. And they have objectives that are somewhat removed from the specific outcome. They, say, wish to sell more guns or to have a war develop, and they're masterminds, and they have a chess game where they figure out how to manipulate people. Then they recruit through different levels down so that each level does not really know much except the level above and below him. And you get down to the trainers who indicate to the person a sense of identity, a sense of purpose, a sense that if they do that, they're going to be blessed among God, and they are going to have all of God's kingdom rooting for them, and this can be a purpose beyond living, so that if they carry out an attack, say, and die, that this is very much a blessed act that can glorify them, and that they have done something really good. And it is more of a release of endorphins and a sense of belonging and a sense of purpose than that this person gets beyond fear of death. And it is in a way that his sense of identity, a sense of purpose, a sense of wanting to do something to help is taken over and used for the purposes of the people on these upper levels who he has no sense of their existence. So he is trying to impress the people in the level above him and has thought that he can have a divine experience, a divine interaction. And the endorphins begin to flow and he gets totally obsessed with this. We have seen instances where the individuals in some of these groups will inflict pain upon themselves to be able to lessen the effect of the body on their actions. Give us a moment. As far as the outcome goes, after an individual does this, he may remain in the glow for a while. He may not know what's happened and be not senseless. It is manufactured by his handlers that he will be glorified, and he revs himself up and they rev him up to the point where he feels he or she is in this moment of glory. Sometimes he will try to keep it after he blows himself up. Sometimes he is knocked senseless, but it is pretty lonesome. And sometimes he is met by others that have so also blown themselves up. And it is pretty spooky or scary sometimes to them as everything begins to go flat.
Yeah. So there's probably not much chance that he's going to be meeting 17 virgins or something.
No, he may try to picture them, but they are not there.
Yeah. Okay, next question. This is from my friend Jillian in Encinitas, and she's been going through really difficult health issues for quite some time, particularly with irritable bowel syndrome, and her energy is low, and she's concerned that she might be close to leaving the realm. So she was asking for some insight on this, and if there's anything we recommend that she can do to work with this issue.
Thank you. She is frail, and she needs to connect to the realm in a stronger manner through getting enough nutrition into her body and enough minerals into her body that it can begin to support her more. We can offer some suggestions off the line.
Okay, thank you. We'll ask again. Next question is from Rosia in Toronto. And Rosie always sends me 7 questions. And they all seem so important. And I think this is a question she keeps asking. And is there a way that we can contact the Elohim Ra'an or the Ra group even after the call is over, other than using meditation? And I want to make a comment, and that is, at least this works for me, and I think of them not as separate from me, but as part of me. And that I think that when you think in a normal 3D, a 3D way, you think that, well, the Elohim is going to just come in my mind and start talking to me or whatever. And my experience is, and it's somewhat like Terry's, but certainly she's more refined than I am at this, is that it feels people the channel feel like it's their own thoughts, except that they just can't figure out. That's way smarter than me. How did I ever figure that out? It's like it's very subtle, and it doesn't come in as other. It comes in as part of yourself. And even the energy, when they come in, doesn't feel like other. It feels like suddenly, this is my experience, suddenly who you are feels more expanded. And when I get into that expanded state, it radiates out to other people. And I can feel they are sharing, they can start to share that space. And then we become part of each other for a moment. And that I become part of you while we're on the call. And that we're not separate. But it's hard to explain this in linear way. And it's hard to say, here's how to do it. Okay? Except that every time we do a call, we're setting down an example of doing it. And I have the idea if people keep coming to calls, it starts to internalize for some people, and they start having an experience. So that's from my human side, how it looks. And let me turn it over to our sources and see how they answer it.
Thank you. We are dancing around you as we speak. We have very high frequency, so it is very hard when one is focused in the third density to know that we are there. It is almost beyond the range of perception. And so we are here and we hear you and we work with you and your body. But it may take a while to become sensitive to our high frequencies. But we are there. It is so often that individuals pray and we hear, but you do not know that we have heard. Thank you.
And next question is, let's see, Don Herman. And Don actually has 2 questions here. And I want to ask a third question after I ask his 2 questions, from approaching his questions from another angle. So here are his questions. I'm going to read them both and let you answer it in totality. If one wishes to benefit from an idea such as daily affirmation, is it necessary to go through the effort of actually consciously memorizing it, or could one just send it to the subconscious somehow? Thank you. Maybe I'll just ask that.
Pardon?
I'll ask that question before I go to the next. But maybe I should ask the question, are affirmations a good way to go through, you know, this is something that a lot of people endorse, the idea of affirmations, like, I am bringing in a lot of money, I am a loving person, you know, constantly saying things like that to yourself to reprogram your consciousness. And maybe we should just ask first, how do you see the benefit of that kind of technique for shifting yourself?
Thank you. Well, it is a complex area because if one really believes the affirmation, then this will go a long way towards changing his modus operandi towards bringing in the results of the affirmation. If, however, when he does the affirmation, he says, I am abundant, and then it says, the voice inside says that I have no money. And so he says, I am abundant. And the voice says, how could I be abundant? It is a start, however, to say it, what it is that you like, even to write it out, I am abundant, and put it on the refrigerator or something where it could begin to take hold. There have been instances where individuals have put strange requests on the refrigerator. I'm going to have my own boat. I'm going to have my own red car. And then they think, well, you know what? Like, this is a real example from one person. I don't have a red car, and I don't have enough money, and I don't have enough money to buy a red car like that. And this individual came up on a circumstance where he helped somebody out, and they gave him the exact red car he wanted. So it is encouraging that you can put it out there and increase the chances of it happening. We hope to shed some light on it.
You know, I remember reading about Jack Canfield, who happened to write that best-selling series, Chicken Soup for the Soul. And he had a partner, I forget his partner's name, who wrote it with him. And they put a thing on the refrigerator that said, we're going to have a New York Times bestseller, number one bestseller. And it's like their book was rejected by probably 100 publishers. And you know what? It became a New York Times bestseller. But there's something that you have to add to that. Both Jack Canfield and his partner were like motivational people. They were trainers. They were brilliant. They were high energy. And what they did was they started calling radio stations every day, and they got on hundreds of radio stations talking about their book. And they had the ability to do it. And, of course, they had the ability to write a book. So when you ask for something like that, you somehow have to be able to back it up with what you can actually do, you know, and not be too much pie in the sky. But on the other hand, you could be pie in the sky and it might happen. If it happens, it happens. But in most cases, if you see, if you visualize something you want, and you can apply your own abilities to make it happen, then you increase the chances very much that it will happen if you stay in the positive of it. Because yeah. even when people have the abilities to make something happen, it's like they have the abilities, but they can't keep their energy up high enough, or they haven't grounded it into the world enough. And I mean, look how long we've been working on this project here that we're doing, and coming from nothing to where I don't think, you know, we're just slightly something. You know, there's a number of people, you know, like you guys, that we're influencing and are getting a lot out of this. Now I have this thought, you know what? There's a lot more people out there that would love to discover this. And I am constantly have the affirmation that I have to reach more people, but I also have to look at what can I actually do to reach more people, and that I'm working on all of those things. You know, so in any case, I'll let our sources comment on that if they want.
Thank you. Yes. By putting it out there sporadically or here and there, by tracking it down, putting it in writing somewhere where it can be read every day, it helps to change molecular structure around it, much like the Japanese scientist who discovered if you write love on a bottle of liquid and then you freeze it, the crystals are beautiful. However, if you write hate on a bottle and freeze it, the crystals are not beautiful. So it is all one from some level, and you can help leverage yourself to where you want to be when you get as much on your side as is feasible. Thank you.
Thank you. We're going a little over. Don said we could. I'll ask one more question tonight. Aaron, ask your question again. Let's see whose question I didn't ask tonight. Joshua, ask your question again. Don Herman, ask your second question again. Elizabeth, ask your question again. Deb, ask your question again. And last question tonight, and anyone else I didn't mention, please feel free to ask your question again. I don't care if you ask it four times. The more I see it, I say you have a high intent. You know, sometimes people just say, well, I'm just curious. I'll ask the question. And or they're trying to test us and asking a question. Those type of questions don't usually get through. But if somebody keeps re-asking the same question, I know they're serious. So, Josh, let's see. Not Joshua. Eric. Where did Eric go? Hang on a second. Eric in Santa Fe. All over the planet, there is healing by entities. How does eternal healing actually work? Eric, I'm not sure what you mean by eternal healing, but I'll leave it in there as soon as I know. With terminally ill people, could you also elaborate on how holographic healing works? Thank you for your loving service. That's Eric in Santa Fe.
Thank you. We see more than one question there. When you encounter healing, if you take a body, it has a great propensity to heal. And healing is waiting to happen there. There are certain things that are needed to heal a mindset that is in sync with healing. Nutrition, alkalinity that allows enough extra energy for the body to heal, enough nutrients that can help the body heal. The body has the healing ability. It needs things to heal. It needs impulses to heal, which when the person has the intention of healing, it can heal, the body can heal a lot better. The body is a complex thing made of cells and made of energies and different consciousnesses all working together. So be friends with your body and help with the creativity of the posture of healing. There, overall, between realms, there is a tendency towards healing. If the individual dies of a terminal illness, he may learn something that can help in his next life and gets a reset and gets a soul healing, a debriefing, a way to connect again, another chance, and then to work out things that didn't work out in the past. Perhaps the person might come back and be a great doctor.
Thank you.
Perhaps, yes.
You know, adding something onto that question, I think many of us would like to think that if we were spiritual enough or if we could get high enough, that anything can be healed in the physical. And it seems to me that's not really true because the physical body is physical. You lose an arm. Is it possible to grow an arm back if it got chopped off? I don't ever heard of any evidence of that. So when it comes to healing, what is the area where it's actually possible or most highly possible? And what's the area that's most likely improbable?
It depends upon the individual's, in a way, hologram and what they believe is possible. There are postures one can get into where it would be able to heal something that ordinarily wouldn't be able to be healed or experience things that ordinarily wouldn't be able to experience, like to leave the realm and to take his body. And it depends a great deal upon belief systems because it's hard to go against one's belief system. So if one can get in totally the posture of a different belief system, then it could happen.
So one could theoretically grow their arm back if it got chopped off, if they could believe it.
Yes, they would have to experience the whole hologram, the whole whole different timeline, the whole different factors involved.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Dharmananda requests that healing light be sent to his friend, his neighbor, who he feels is on close to dying. So I'd like to request that on his behalf.
For Baba? And,
yeah. For Baba. And I don't know if Baba is listening to our calls or is aware of it, but if you have a comment for Baba, I'm sure Dharmananda would pass it on.
We sent Sazagam communication directly.
Okay, thank you. So on that note, we're going to bring this call to a close. Really great call. Great, Terry, you're really tuned in tonight. Great sources. I won't say you're tuned in, you're always tuned in, but Terry was a really good vehicle, instrument this evening. And all of you were really, really great at holding the energy tonight, and even me. So on that note, let me just see here. Let me unmute everybody.
All callers are unmuted.
Thank you, Terry.
Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Terry.
Love to all.
Thank you, Terry.
Have a great night, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks,
thank you, Terry.
Thank you.
Stopped.
Thank you, Wynn.
Thank you.
I've loved you all.
Thanks, guys. Love you.
That was a great
goodbye.